You are the Word made flesh, so we ask that you open our ears and help us to hear. Your grace, O God, is the wellspring of life. We ask that you open our hearts and help us to know and experience that living waters of your grace. Your scripture tells us, Lord, that you are the light of the world. So will you open our eyes? Will you give sight to our path that we may see the steps you would have us take? Come, O Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you in this time of worship and every breath we take. For we can't even say thank you and be drawn more closely to you without your grace. So breathe it into us once more and receive our worship. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I sent Elizabeth and Benton a text message last night and shared with them that I would be praying for their family, especially today. This is the 2-month anniversary of her brother John's passing. And for those of you who don't know John's story, he was a decorated Marine corporal who served valiantly in the war in Iraq, was injured and received a Purple Heart along with numerous other medals. I love the way the family described John in his obituary. They said he was a warrior, an adventurer, a poet, and a child of grace. John, to show you his poetry, I want to read one message that he gave to his mom back last year. Listen to the depth of this soldier. He said, I found that Romans 8:35-39 is very rich in the truth that we are never separated from the love of Christ. I find these verses more evident even than Romans 8:28, because although we know all things work for good, the fact is, it's hard to get our head around it when we are in the middle of all things, quote, and don't see any good. However, the love of Christ is easy to comprehend in the hard times, because His love is often the only good that is evident. I would go so far to say that all things, even the worst things, are good simply because they demonstrate that His love toward us is immutable, unchanged by our situation, our actions, or our attitude toward Him. Nothing, all caps, can separate us from His great love. In this I find peace in the most difficult situations. I'll never forget, after the service of celebration for the life of John, as we drove out to Hopewell Cemetery out from Faulkner, that standing there on the side of the road as we prepared to make the turn to the cemetery was an older gentleman that appeared to be some 85 years old, perhaps, standing erect with proper posture. And as the hearse approached his place on the road, he saluted as crisp of an honor that you could imagine and remained there until every car passed. Wow. What respect. But I think there was something more than respect in this response of one who probably had also served. There was an appreciation for one who was willing to risk it all for his family, for his friends, and perhaps even those he wasn't so friendly with, for his nation as a whole. Such is the response for those who are willing to risk their life for another. We heard of the passing of former First Lady Mrs. Bush this week. And I saw in a news clip recently that even as Mrs. Bush lie in state in the Episcopal Church there in Houston, the Secret Service was still there protecting and serving. It was this. They said, she loved us. She made us feel as though we were a part of the Bush family. You see, that love thing is certainly true that we experience too. It goes both ways. I suspect if you were to ask Miss Bush why she loved the servants so much, it was because they were willing to risk their life for her and her family. Our scripture today tells us, it begins in verse 11 by proclaiming this quote from the words of Jesus when he says, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. Friends, other places in scripture tells us there is no greater act of love than the willingness of one to give their life and sacrifice for another. It indeed responds with respect, with appreciation, with love. This is the nature of our God, the very words that Jesus embraced to say, this is how the Messiah comes to you as a shepherd to lovingly care for you. You know, I find this about a shepherd too, though. What we know about sheep is that they're weak, they're defenseless. They need guidance and direction. I'm trying to say they're not real smart, but since this scripture gets around to saying we're the sheep, I don't really want to go there, do y'all? The sheep need a shepherd. You know, I think of a journey I was making from Corinth to New Albany back last year. I was on Highway 30 there between Boonville and New Albany. And I came across one of those curves and went down a hill, and there was a lady just at the bottom of the hill waving her arms very animatedly, trying to get me to slow down. I slowed down and continued on to the other hill. And then there was a man, likely her husband. His pickup truck was parked beside the road, and he was even more vigorously getting us to slow down. And then I saw the problem. There, just beyond the pickup, was a mama cow grazing right on the right-of-way, right near the edge of the road. Now, why did he do that? He, like the good shepherd, knew that this animal was defenseless. It needed help. It needed protection. It needed someone to do for it what it couldn't do alone. But you know why else I think they were there? I think it was their cow. It makes a difference, doesn't it? Sure, they were good Samaritans, I suspect. They were trying to not let anyone else get hurt, but they didn't want to lose their cow. Why? Because it was their own. You see, our scripture says this. In the words of Jesus today in verse 12, he said, I know my own. The hired hand isn't so concerned about the sheep because the hired hand doesn't own them. You are mine, says the Lord. That's the nature Jesus has for us. As his brothers and sisters, he too goes the extra effort to protect us, to sustain us, and to guide us in life and faith, friend, because we are his, as he says in verse 14. In 12, he says, I own them, the good shepherd does, when the hired hand does it. But in verse 14, he says twice there, they are my own. Not only do I own them, but they are mine. They're precious in my sight. This past Friday at Blue Mountain College, we had a wonderful event. Judge Elliott and I texted yesterday. We had a gala to celebrate education in our community. We raised some $200,000 for tuition assistance for the young men and women that we care for. Many of you contributed to that event. Thank you. But also on that night that made it so special, I tried to count up this morning how many volunteers we had from faculty, staff, and students. I got to about 75 and I quit counting. Probably nearly 100 people volunteered to make that event a success, to provide scholarships for others that wouldn't benefit them. They gave of themselves for a person in need. Why would they do that? See, I too think Jesus speaks of that in our scripture when he says here, he says in verse 13 that the hired hand, when trouble comes, when the enemy attacks, the hired hand will flee because they're not his own. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, unlike the hired hand, remains steadfast because he doesn't work for a paycheck. No, he serves out of love. See, I think that's what we experienced Friday night. They were not serving as hired hands. They were serving out of love. Friends, that's the nature of our God. That is the gift of the good shepherd. You may have heard this expression before. We've got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. No amen from you, Manya. We only have one chief at our house, and it's not me. Dad, I get tickled. He sent me a text message back about a year ago, and it was a photo, and I apologize to those of you who will be listening to this sermon and can't see my visual demonstration, but it was a photo bit, and you'll appreciate, of him standing there posing with his hand right under his chin, Jody Steverson, and Mom standing behind him with a scowl on her face. His message was this: she only needs me from here down. No thinking around here. I get to do the grunt work. Such is retirement, Hollis. We don't need too many chiefs. In fact, Jesus says this in verse 16 when he talks about there are other sheep that I need to call to myself, as he talks about the Gentiles, yes, and other peoples of the faith in this first century when he's proclaiming this message. He says, I yearn to bring them all to me so that we have one flock, one shepherd, and are united in the love of the Father. Friend, we need one chief, one shepherd, and there's one Savior. Thanks be to God for the good shepherd of our Lord. You see, Jesus not only had that dream of what his kingdom would be, as he proclaimed in verse 16, but you know what he also said? Business gurus and leadership experts love this, Doc. Not only should we have a dream, but we should have a vision. A vision of how we turn that dream into a reality. Jesus knew how to do. How to embrace a path to vision to make his love eternal. And how did he do it? The journey and path for our Lord, the one we trust and look to for the gift of life, that path to salvation ended on a dusty road. A journey up a hill far away onto an old rugged cross. And it was there for the world of lost sinners he was slain. Friends, as we reflect on this scripture today, as we strive to understand what it means to be the good shepherd, and to be quite honest, that description doesn't hit home for many of us. But for us today, what I would like to share, in honor of my friend John Harrell, and in celebration of his memory, as an interpretation I've given on this scripture today, inspired by him, a poem that I would like to share. I'm not as poetic as John, so it doesn't rhyme, but a reading to help us understand, maybe in some ways, the sacrifice of our Lord, called Not the Good Shepherd, but the Good Soldier. I am the good soldier. The good soldier lays down his life for the ones who cannot defend themselves. The mercenary or hired soldier is not the good soldier and does not love the weak as his own family. The hired soldier sees the enemy invader coming, and he leaves those who can't fight for themselves and he runs away. Then the enemy invader attacks and pillages the defenseless. The hired soldier runs away because mercenaries don't fight for their country, but rather for a paycheck. I am the good soldier. I fight not because I love to fight, but because my country, the helpless, and my family are all my people. And they all need me. So I lay down my life for my people. Sure, there are countrymen from whom I disagree. And it sometimes seems we are on opposite sides. But I risk my life so that they will have the right to disagree with me. I believe we are best when we are the United States. I will keep working for unity instead of division until we are all one people. It pleases my Heavenly Father that I lay down my life for my people. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down out of my own conviction. I don't have to fight, serve, and defend my people. It's my choice. Just as some feel called to teach and preach, I believe the Father placed a calling upon me to serve in harm's way. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my people. Amen. Friends, as I often do after worship, I invite you